only because I can't fly your ship, he said from behind her.
She smiled, pleased that he was nowhere near the bad man he had once been. She only hoped he had more time to make things even better. The scanners flashed. Warning lights chimed. She switched on comm to send a message to Tython, but the flat screen was a haze of snow and crackles. Nothing manifested, and its level indicator fluctuated rapidly. She could have examined the readings closer, but there was no need. Sometimes instruments gave voice to what was visibly obvious. Outside, the skies and surface of Sunspot were in turmoil. The fiery clouds and lightning she had witnessed as Tree and Ironhulks pulled her from the mine had increased. Now they looked cataclysmic. Fingers of lightning thrashed down all around, making the ground shudder and the air bend. The skies were deep red and violent orange, streaked here and there with white-hot flame that ignited massive, thundering explosions high up. Malterra was close. Gravities fought as each planet exerted influence over the other, and it seemed that both sought dominance. They could retreat underground into the deepest mines, as most of Sunspot's miners did on every such occasion. For 4 days they would live down there, feeling the world around them shaking and sensing the great energies being expended above. And then they would climb to the surface to repair any damage, and the mining would begin again. Dale planned this, Lannery thought. He must have. Once in a Malterran year, a quarter of a Tython year. Such coincidence can't be an accident. But Lannery knew that she had no choice. If she desired, she could consult the ship's computer and calculate the odds of her being able to pilot the ship out through such a storm. But she never liked hearing the odds. Can you make it up here? Strap in? She asked Tree. She heard a groan, and then his shuffling footsteps as he came to join her. He stank. His breathing was ragged.
I'll probably puke again.
Don't worry. Ironhulks, prepare for takeoff. The droid clacked and clicked. Lannery increased power to the engines. The ship felt strong and confident around her, and as she took in a deep breath, she felt the same. I am renewed, she thought. She knew that the sense of power and superiority she felt was wrong. Her alchemies were talents that should be born lightly. Ashlaw and Bogan be damned. She had a more immediate fight on her hands. Here goes nothing, she said, and the Peacemaker blasted from Sunspot's surface and into cosmic chaos. The most direct route from Sunspot to Tython would have taken them straight through Malterra. Lannery programmed the route 4 times, and each time the ship's computer threw out a different alternative. So in the end, she took manual control, switched on 4 screens with different scaled space charts, and trusted her instincts. There is no fear. There is power, she thought, and she worked with the Force to see them through. She felt queasy. She convinced herself that it was the result of her healing, as opposed to an unsettling of her balance. But the flesh was strong. The strength. The potential. She could not hold down the excitement she felt at such arcane alchemies.
We should wait,
Tree said beside her, weak and scared. She did not answer. He knew as well as she how much was at stake, and how much of a start Dale had on them. They had to travel as fast as they could. There was no other way. The Peacemaker took a pounding as she curved them up out of Sunspot's atmosphere, but the craft had been built to last. The noise was tremendous, and she could hardly hear her own shout. The straps cut into her shoulders and chest. The windows shimmered with heat on the outside. Her seat creaked in its mounting. Loose panels rattled and shook, and the flight stick vibrated so hard in her hand that soon her fingers and forearm grew numb. She could not let go. She fought the storm through the ship and calmed herself with the Force, and Dale was large in her mind's eye. She remembered his face as he'd pointed the blaster and his eyes as he pulled the trigger, and there was nothing there. Scanners showed that they were almost 15 kilometers above the planet's surface, and she increased the power to break them into space. Once there, she hoped the abuse the ship was undergoing might lessen. But she was wrong. Space itself was being rippled and torn by the forces exerted between the two planets as they rapidly closed on each other. They would pass within 500,000 kilometers of each other, and that sounded like a comfortable distance. But flying between them felt like dropping a feather into the winds of Tulsa's grassy plains. Her instruments went haywire from the magnetic and gravitational chaos dancing between worlds. Ironhulk skittered across the cabin behind her and tipped onto his side, sparks arcing from several slits on his head.
"Your droids exploded," Tree said.
Even his voice sounded dismantled, broken into constituent parts by the incredible assault on the ship and everything within it.
"How long till the Peacemaker goes, too?"
"The Peacemaker won't go," Lannery shouted. "Your brain will fall from your butt before that happens."
"I think it already has," he shouted.
She was pleased to hear humor, because perhaps that meant Tree was feeling better. Maybe the medicines he'd taken had helped. But she could not fool herself. She had cured her own terrible wounds using arcane and dangerous force alchemy. But Tree was different. The poisons eating at him might be slowed, but to stop them would require expert attention. She tried to communicate with Tython, to warn them, but all comm systems remained down. An hour after the attempt, her own message came back to her, surprising her with its air of desperation. She felt sick, and Tree vomited beside her. At least this time he turned away from her before letting go.
"That's the second time you've done that to my ship!" she shouted.
No reply from Tree. She glanced across and he was sitting with his chin touching his chest. His Leku hung limp and unmoving. She switched on the grav unit, but it was malfunctioning in the storms. Her stomach rose and fell. She pressed back into her seat. Something seemed to have come loose in her chest, and she probed delicately, using the force to feel out the geography of her wound. It felt fine. Her fix had been good. Perhaps it was simply her held breath. Time moved on, every moment an eternity. The Peacemaker shook and vibrated, and more rattles developed. The ship was being shaken to pieces. Arc lightning struck them three times, the third time such a heavy charge that every seam and hole in the hull, control panel, and structure lit up as if they were being burned apart. Lannery screamed out loud but could not hear, and she quietly prepared herself for death. "I'll feel nothing."